But okay. Yeah. All right. So anyways, if you guys don't know, go to the other YouTube channel also. Not right now, but after we have, I have a new YouTube channel because this one I have right here is so fucking, has so much shit in it. Like, it's shadow banned like crazy. So what I did, and I know Gary Faust is like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you starting a new channel and starting off from scratch? It's going to fuck everything up. But it didn't, because I wanted to do a test. I put out shorts, like YouTube shorts from, posted them on both channels at the same time. Mm-hmm. On a new channel that only has like 20 subscribers, and they get the same amount of views. Like, compared to the channel we have right now.
Yeah.
It has 1,200, I think, subscribers right now.
Mm-hmm.
How is it only getting like 5 or 6 views when we have that many subscribers? It just makes no sense to me.
It makes sense to me.
Why does it?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
I should at least begin 10% of subscribers watching each video. That's on average. That's usually what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be getting, I don't know, what's 10% of 1,200? To be like 120?
Something like that, yeah.
I think so. I'm going to say that's right. That sounds about right. But yeah. So go look for Con Man Explains. I'll put it in the show notes. I always say I'm going to put stuff in the show notes. I was listening to the old episodes, and I'd always say like, oh yeah, it's in the show notes. I don't put anything in the show notes.
You don't put anything in the show notes. And I tell you about a movie, and you're like, I'm going to go watch that tonight. And then you never do. That's the embarrassing thing about going back and listening to old episodes. I'll go on some
That's it.
Very deep, thoughtful diatribe about the importance of a certain film or a genre. Mm. You're like, that sounds really interesting. I'm gonna watch that tonight with my family, and then you never watch it.
Oh, damn it! That's not the only embarrassing things. There are like things where, like early podcasts, Sean, it's so embarrassing. I was so unconfident in talking, and like I'd forget words I was saying, and then I was so drunk out of anxiety. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with me? I've never talked like that.
You think so?
I went back and listened to the MK Ultra ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man. And like, they're like, I'll listen to them. Like, I should have said this.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't. And it just, that's the worst part about listening back to the shit you did.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason why the new show is going to go back into stuff that we got into. But didn't get to explain it well enough. So like this new show is gonna like this new episode I'm about to put out, it's really good.
To be honest with you, there are a lot of gay guests on this show, but it ain't none of your damn business that they're gay.
You know, also there's no hard fast rule that we have to, you know, cover the same information.
Mm-hmm.
Or a certain topic or whatever, you know, because sometimes
you like watching people get fucked for free.
you can talk about, you know, what you can bring shit up from several episodes ago. If mm-hmm. there's like, if new shit has come to light, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. It's speaking of movies, I wanted to bring this up because I ran across this really good documentary, and it's like, and I talked to you about this before the show.
Yeah.
And I'm about 3 parts into it because it's like, it's a 4-part series about Danny Casolaro. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of the great heroes, great American, like heroes of like, he was a journalist, and anyone that has listened to the show or in this conspiracy world or like maybe you're like a guy that doesn't trust the government, you kind of know.
Did they make a Coors Light radio ad about this guy?
No, but this is one of the things that made me skeptical of it. I think Mark Duplass like helped produce the show, and just some of the stuff I've heard about that guy, and just like kind of like another thing is he totally pussied out. Like he was like, remember when he was talking about Ben Shapiro? I'm not saying I'm a big Ben Shapiro fan, but he went on like Instagram. He's like, I just talked to Ben Shapiro. He's actually not a bad guy. And then, like, everyone's like, you piece of shit. Like, not everyone, but, like, he had some comments. Like, you piece of shit. I can't believe you would hang out with that Nazi or whatever, even though Ben Shapiro's a...
Don't you know he wears Jew hats?
He's a Jewish... The Jewy of the Jews.
You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
But Mark Duplass was, like, he, like, deleted it, and he apologized like a fucking homo.
Why?
Because he let the mob scare him.
Did Netflix force him to do that?
No, and this was years ago. This was before this came out. Because, like, this documentary came out, like, last week. It was weird because I was trying to get my kid to sleep. So I was like, I'm going to watch a documentary while he's... Or I'm going to watch something on Netflix.
I'm going to bore the shit out of him until he goes to sleep.
No, it would scare him. Because, like, I think it starts off with how he dies.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that knows how... Danny Castellaro died. So, like, to explain who he is, in case you guys don't know who he was a guy that was investigating what he called the octopus. And the octopus was just, like, all the connection. It's, like, a global connection to, like, these, like, what the CIA is doing. So, like BCCI, which is the bank that bankrolled all this stuff. This was, like, a bank that was started in Pakistan, but it was actually ran by the CIA, and this is how they would pay for, like, for example, the hostages in Iran. This is how they paid off the Iranian government, how the CIA paid off the Iranian government to release the hostages so Reagan can get elected and Carter would lose the election.
Yeah.
You know about all this, like the October surprise?
Yeah.
So October surprise, for anyone that doesn't know, this was this is when they released this is when they were going to release the hostages in Iran during the Iranian hostage conflict. And this was around the time when George Bush was in the CIA, or I think this was like right after he was in the CIA, but the CIA actively supported George Bush. George Bush is one of them. And they wanted Reagan to get elected, so they reached a deal with Iran to release the hostages after the election. So, like, since Carter couldn't release them, since he didn't release them, that's why he got the shit kicked out of him in the election, and that was all part of it. This was all bankrolled through the BCCI. BCCI, and this was the way they did this whole network was through the Promise software. And if you want to get into the Promise software, we did a full episode on that. It's a lot of stuff. Like it was a software that was created for some of the police stations around the country, because, like, back in the 1970s and 80s, they had no way to file things. There was no database. It was just like this real cutting edge software that Inslaw made. It was Inslaw Promise software. And basically what happened was they got this guy, Michael Reconosciuto, who was this genius. This guy was being recruited by the government since he was like 12 years old. This guy had this crazy, this guy was a genius. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of like groomed him into this guy that would eventually be the software guy that was going to create a trap door into this software. In the software, like, Inslaw Promise was working with, like, the DOJ to just kind of like have this onboarding process for this new software. And then eventually once Michael Reconosciuto created this trapdoor where they can get into the software whenever they wanted to, they stopped paying Inslaw. So Inslaw sued them, and like eventually they take this court case pretty far out, where and this guy, he just goes bankrupt, the owner of it. Mm-hmm. And they just stop paying him. And then the government used or the DOJ used Michael Reconosciuto to break into the software and then, like, just modify it, and they just stole it. Now they have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use it for for gun running, for Iran-Contra, for even like they were paying off like these like dictators like Saddam Hussein, Noriega. What the fuck? Where's Noriega from again? I mean, he was a CIA guy. He was being paid by the he was a CIA agent basically. So this is a way they would run this fucking global program. And Danny Castellaro, and I'm doing this all on the top of my head, so like if I sound a little fucking crazy right now, this is all on the top of my head that I can remember with this this whole octopus that Danny Castellaro was exposing. Danny Castellaro ran into some real fucking dark guys. Like there was this guy, I don't remember his first name, it's something Nichols. There's two guys with the last name Nichols in this story, so it gets kind of confusing. But one of these guys is a fucking maniac. And he would like tell him, he's like, I've been part of a lot of dark stuff that the intelligence agencies are into. And the way this guy talks is fucking terrifying. And like they would talk about how like they had these, there was this other guy, he was like a hitman. He was a FBI / I think he also worked for the CIA, but this guy had like murdered like six people, and he didn't really spend any, he only spent a little bit of time in jail because the government, I think the FBI at that time kept getting him out of there. So Danny Kessler was talking about all these fucking, the way he would get these stories is he had to talk to the most fucking terrifying people in the intelligence agency. Like the CIA, NSA, like all the alphabet fucking agencies.
Yeah.
And one day, like because he would, on the documentary, he's telling his brother, because he's really close with his family. He tells his brother this stuff that's going on. He's like, I'm about to break the story. And you know what happens when people are like, oh, I'm about to break the story. They fucking end up dead.
Hmm.
So they find Danny Castellaro in a bathtub with his wrist just slit. But both of them. And they're cut all the way past the tendons. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means, right?
It means he had a very sharp knife. He had a long, sharp knife.
Or someone else did it. There's no way you can slit your own wrist all the way down to the tendons on both sides. It's impossible. Your arms would be hanging. Your fucking wrists would be hanging. You'd be like that.
So you're saying he was murdered?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know who another Nichols is?
Who?
Terry Nichols. Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, that's true. It was weird because I was trying to remember. I was like, why is it? Because there's also a Nichols in the whole JFK assassination. I've been reading a lot about the JFK assassination the last week or so. Because and that's another thing the guy points out. He after Danny Castellaro dies, there's this other lady. It's like on episode 3. Is this other lady that was investigating it?
Yeah,
and she ends up talking to that guy Nichols, and he goes to her house and he like shows her the real Zapruder film, because you know the one that they have that you see is edited. Did you know that?
The Zapruder film is edited from a longer piece of film.
There's a part of it, and this is what she said, because she's only, I don't think, it's not available, the actual real one. And she was like, he comes in the house, and she puts in this tape into the VCR. And then she said he slowed it down. He must have had like some kind of thing, because you can't slow down on a VCR. She said she slowed it.
Unless you have the step button.
Yeah.
There used to be a step button that would just frame by frame by frame, but it was always, you can see it stretching, and it would be kind of staticky and look shitty.
Yeah. So she talks about how much he slowed it down. She said he slowed it down so much, you can literally see like fucking air moving. Like you can see the bullet kind of like going. But she said what happened was, the video she saw was the guy that was driving the car, he turns around and he shoots JFK in the head, and you can see his fucking, the back of his head fucking explode. She's like, what is this? Is this a doctored film? I've never seen this.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, this is the original one. The other one was doctored. And she's like, how do I know you're not just making this up? He plays the original one. And he's like, look at that tree right there. And there's a picture of there, like in the video, it shows a tree, but the tree's in the air. It looks like someone had doctored it. And I don't know if she's telling the truth or not.
Yeah.
But that was fucking very interesting. I really want to see this real video. And like Abraham Zapruder, do you know a lot about Abraham Zapruder, the guy that did the film?
All I know about Abraham Zapruder is he shot the Zapruder film.
Yeah. So I've been reading this book from Russ Baker. It's called Family Secrets. It's about the Bush family. And he does about a third of the book about how George Bush's was part of the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, on one of the chapters, he's talking about Abraham Zapruder. And he's talking about the city of Dallas back in 1963. Like, what was Dallas like? It's not like how it is today. In Dallas, it was like real CIA. It's like an intelligence area. Like, there's a lot of intelligence connections to that city. And Abraham Zapruder was like, he was really close to like all these higher up CIA guys. He was good friends. He had a really close connection to a guy named George Mornchild. For anyone that knows the George Bush connection to JFK, George Mornchild is like a Russian guy who was like is anti-communist, and his dad was close friends with Prescott Bush. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Zapruder film.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing the tree?
The tree?
Because there's like a tree that's like floating, which looks fucking crazy. I'll show you after this because it's it's real interesting. But I don't think the actual footage of what she was saying exists that you can see. Like, it's not in the public.
Yeah, I don't know. Just that is a hell of a shot to take because people forget.
He was driving.
Well, one, he was driving, but two, there was three rows of seats in that convertible. It was a specially made vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like this like roll bar contraption separating the first row of seats from the second. And mm-hmm. then JFK was sitting in the third. So that means he'd have to turn and shoot between Senator Connally mm-hmm. and his wife and hit JFK.
Oh, shit.
So I'm also, I don't know when was this videotape? When did they see this? The director's cut of the Zapruder film. When was this?
I don't remember if she said when it was.
80s, 90s?
It must have been the 80s or 90s.
That's a hard thing to cut together and make it look real.
Yeah, and she kind of says like, he even was, then it was you don't like, know what he says is true or not.
Like, you would have seen some type of imperfection, some kind of glitch.
Womb Raider's putting some, he's putting some fucking good stuff in here. So since we're talking about the whole JFK thing, he's talking about H. Lewis Nichols. There's a lot of Nichols in here.
It would have been easier just to have someone shoot him up from the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
It's way easier.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the multiple shooter theory, which that seems
the most plausible.
That seems the most plausible.
Mm-hmm. It just seems
doctoring a video that came out, what Zapruder film came out, like 10 years after the
case. It was like 1973 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like no one gave a shit at, you know,
yeah.
By the time that shit came out. So it's like, why even show it?
Yeah, Womb Raider said Mornchild. It's Mornchild. It looks like when you read it, when I was reading it, I thought it said Morn shit because it's Mornschildt.
That is way too many letters for any name.
Yeah, well, he's Russian, so it's like, So this all right. So this guy George DeMorenschild, his father was close with Prescott Bush, and George DeMorenschild also was in. He would always write letters, and he was talking about how him and his wife would be. They're like, oh, we're in Guatemala, and like he would talk about where he was at, and this is like at the same place where they're training. Some of the people for the Bay of Pigs,
mm-hmm.
and then like he would be like, oh, like he, the same time, same place, and then he would talk about like he was like, oh, we're in Chile, and they're like, I'm over here hiking with my wife, and like it would be like in Chile where there was like some kind of coup that would happen that same week, so like he was always in the same areas where this really fucked up shit would happen.
Yeah.
So and then. He later on, you find out that he knew Lee Harvey Oswald. He mentored him from when he was younger. When he went, to, well, not younger, like whenever, you remember when Lee Harvey Oswald went to Russia, to USSR?
Yeah.
Like that was one of the guys that like taught him everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it just, you just know, like he taught Lee Harvey Oswald how to be a patsy, but he didn't tell him that it was going to happen to him. So
well, yeah, because you're a patsy.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, we're gonna go over here. Like he would.
That's like I'm gonna steal your credit card information. This is basically the easiest way to do it. You reach into your wallet and you hand me your credit card, and then I leave.
Yeah,
and then I buy a bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm.
No one would do that.
You
have to be sneaky about it. Mm-hmm. You have to get people's credit card information through other means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this guy, George DeMorenschild, was also friends with, he was an associate of Abraham Zapruder. So, like, what Russ Baker does in this book is he just connects all these people just because, like, and it's very well researched and just how connected these guys were, because what the reason why they wanted to get Fidel Castro out of there, not because he was a communist, it's because it fucked up all the oil shit that they were doing. Because you got to remember, the world's ran by a bunch of bankers and oil guys. Because George Bush Senior, Poppy Bush, he was one of the main guys at like Zapata Oil, which is Penn's Oil. It's Penn's Oil now. But what they were doing, they were drilling for oil outside of Cuba, in the Cuba area. And, like, it was going to make them billions of dollars. Even back then, it was, like, billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then Fidel Castro took over, and he nationalized all the oil there. All of it belonged to the government. It's kind of like what happened in, where in South America did they nationalize? Why can't I think of it?
Venezuela.
Same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Almost identical things happen. And that's why they did the Bay of Pigs. And the reason why they killed JFK is because of the what happened with Bay of Pigs. Because he didn't really want to do the Bay of Pigs like how they did it. He let the CIA kind of run it.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucked up big time. It was a complete disaster. And what's his name was running the CIA at the time, Alan Dulles. And JFK was like, he's like, you fucked this up, you're out of here. Like, he's like, you're done, you'll never fucking work again. He's like, I don't trust you, I don't trust the CIA, I'm gonna start reducing the size of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what JFK did was he just made a bunch of fucking enemies. And Alan Dulles, close with the Bush family, he's all these people are very close with each other. So after JFK is killed, Lyndon B. Johnson becomes president, and they just bring Alan Dulles back. So like, it was
sure no one's ever really out.
Yeah.
Not if they don't need to be.
And there's two presidents that try to get rid of the CIA or try to weaken it. it was him, it was JFK, and then it was Nixon. Because Nixon was a guy that didn't trust these guys either. And that's why they did Watergate. And Watergate, Nixon probably didn't do Watergate. Because it was like, when you look at all the stuff, like even if you read all the Watergate books, like it's not, like they're not really, none of them ever come to the conclusion that Nixon was fully in on it. They all say like he was kind of like fucked over. Not all of them say CIA, but some of them are like, I don't know, it looks like the CIA kind of did this.
Yeah.
Like they, like when you look at how it was broken into, they're just like, they just put like papers everywhere. There's like trash on the ground. Like they didn't even try to make it a secret. If someone was breaking into somewhere and tried to make, keep it a secret, I don't know if you're like ruffling papers everywhere. It just looked, it was sketchy as fuck.
Yeah. Also, it seems like it would just be easier to, because this was a campaign office.
Mm-hmm. This was like just the DNC. It was
just put a fucking plant in the, which I'm sure all happens anyways.
You can bug them.
You put people from opposing, you know, political, and you have them go work for the RNC, or you have them work for the DNC, and you just have them just kind of spying on shit.
Yeah,
that seems like the most obvious thing to do. Like some like strong arm robbery in the middle of the night just seems like, it seems weird and desperate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was definitely strange. Nixon will never be like really accepted as he was actually a pretty good president when you think about it, especially if like you're someone that's like really into the environment. Like he introduced like the Clean Water Act. He also introduced like the EPA, and like, I know the EPA is kind of shitty right now, but, I mean, he was a big environmentalist guy, especially like a guy that's a Republican.
Yeah.
And, but like everyone just remembers him for Watergate. They don't really remember like some of the good things he did. Wasn't a bad president. It's kind of sad. But like the CIA, if they want to take you down, they will. Not necessarily kill you, but they will. Like, it doesn't seem like I think their days of the assassination age.
Yeah.
It's not as prevalent as they'll fucking kill somebody overseas. Like they'll put a fucking, they'll get the locals to put a fucking knife up your asshole. Like they don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, Nixon probably was a fag ass goddamn the CIA headquarters.
I just love that he said that. And then he was also, yeah, and he was also a guy that did that.
The DNC is a bunch.
It's, yeah.
It's like a Turkish bathhouse in there.
Yeah, so what this did was, so fast forward past all this is you have George Bush, and then he has like William Casey, who's like a CIA director, one of the most powerful CIA directors we've ever had. Mm-hmm. He has all these guys, and this is what really where they start forming this octopus. So I mean this is before Watergate actually, but he had a whole web of people. Of really strengthening the CIA. The CIA is maybe the most powerful group. I mean, there's probably one that's like, that we don't even know the name of right now, but like groups like that, like these type of intelligence agencies that are running these global things. Like, I mean, like Robert Maxwell was involved with this thing. Mm-hmm. Like he was selling the Promise software. Just think how big this thing is. And they were telling Danny Castellaro if he was to take it down, if he was like, if he was going to expose people, it was going to put multiple, like in the like tens, like in the dozens of senators alone. Like how many senators, there's what, 100 senators? Because there's two in each state.
Yeah.
So it would have took down a big percentage of just senators alone, because how many people were involved, because they're getting paid through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the biggest scandals.
Well, how are they getting paid? Like
this is how the money was being like distributed.
Like they're like people are sending them like what campaign contributions or something like that.
Yeah, so it's going to this bank. They pull it from the bank because it's private. It's not public, so there's like you can't look into the bank. Like, how much money is
going to this bank? Then how do you even investigate something like that? You know, It's like, oh, we're going to court. It's like, well, can't because
I think you can subpoena it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like the Saudis. So the Saudis nationalized all their banks except for one. One of those, and that's where all the Saudi princes. Mm. That's how they hide their money. And one of those Saudi families, the Bin Ladens, also friends of the Bush family.
Yeah.
The Bath family, like Jim Bath, was a good friend of George Bush.
Yeah, they were in the Texas Air National Guard together.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good catch. they're in the guard together. He was like a pilot, right? But he had to go private after a while so he can hide his files. it's one of these things. I was trying to understand this whole thing with Jim Bath. Apparently, Jim Bath.
I think he was involved in he was in, available. Whatchamacallit? He was involved with George W. Bush's. I mean, then they were business partners at some point, right?
Yeah, and I think he started a fucking. He has a small airport in Houston.
Yeah, because George W. Bush started Arbusto Oil, and I think Jim Bath was involved with that. The company like failed basically, but
yeah,
did it? I don't know. Maybe they started it to launder money or something, you know. And then they're just like just dissolve the business.
Yeah,
once they can kind of move it's like a money front. Around. Yeah, could have been a total front for something.
Man,
just bringing cocaine to Bush's house. That's all the business existed for.
That's why I always say, like, when people were like, who do you think is the worst president ever?
Worst president ever?
So, like, I'm going by evil.
Abraham Lincoln.
Look where we're at now. Fucking go to Waffle House.
Thanks, Lincoln. That's what the bumper sticker on my car says. It says... Thanks, Lincoln. And also there's a picture of Abraham Lincoln on my car.
Oh, no.
You know what it says underneath it?
What does it say?
You rollerblading faggot.
I think it said something else. I think Anthony Cumia.
That's the only one I can find.
It should say, you should have it as a quote and then under it say Anthony Cumia and then cross it out and put Abraham Lincoln.
Sure. I like to edit bumper stickers to fit my narrative.
Or it could say Abraham Lincoln and Anthony Cumia.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. Sure. / Anthony Cumia.
They said it together. They said it at the same time. And then they said jinx afterwards.
I mean, that's a guy that's immortal. Except for, like, after he had that heart attack, he, like, aged by, like, 10 years. He looks fucking old now. It's kind of scary.
Well, he is old.
Yeah, but he didn't look old like before he had that surgery.
I mean, people get old, Sean. What do you want? Anthony Cumia is not 20.
I know, it makes me
sad.
He's
almost 70.
Yeah.
Well, he's in his 60s for sure.
Definitely.
You know? Also, some people just hit a wall.
Yeah, it happens.
Where you just see people and they're like, oh, shit, they age like suddenly.
Yeah, it's like a... It's like Uncle June from Sopranos. He's been the same age. I just saw he just turned 97. He looks exactly how he did on The Sopranos.
He's still alive.
That's what it was weird because when we were watching it the other day, we're like, I was like, fuck, is this guy still alive? And then like the next day it was his birthday, and I saw on the Instagram and it showed him like holding the cake. I was like, oh, he looks exactly the same.
Could you imagine being in your 90s eating cake?
Yeah. By
the time you're 90, you probably are just like done with cake. You don't want to eat cake anymore.
Yeah.
Your brain has figured out that cake is just like a sculpture made of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because your taste buds are probably shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all the memories of enjoying confections are probably gone anyways.
Oh,
so
really?
Every time you see a cake, it's probably you feel like it's the first time you've ever seen one. You're like, what is this? They're like, it's cake. What is that? They're like, you eat it. It's a dessert. And he's like, really? And then he went, And then as soon as he went, he forgot what just happened.
Oh no, don't say that. That's bumming me out. I love cake.
I know. That's why you have to enjoy it now while you're young and vital.
Yeah. Oh man, I was watching the one where remember when he starts like losing his mind, because they're like trying to convince the court that he's like that he was out of his mind, and he actually really started losing his mind, and then he's like watching fucking he's like flipping channels and Curb Your Enthusiasm's on, and he's like what the fuck is this, and then the guy, I don't know the name of the guy that lives at his house, the guy from the retirement home, like, lives with him. They never explain why.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a TV program. He's like, what the fuck am I on TV for? He's like, it's not you. And then, like, Jeff from Curb Your Enthusiasm, he looks like Bobby on there. He's like, what the fuck? Is that Bobby? What's Bobby doing there? He's like, it's a program. It's not real. That's not you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. It's sad, but it's funny.
That would, you know what? Here you go. We like to do this every once in a while. We'll pitch a show or a movie.
Yeah.
We'll just make one. They should do a show now
where
Junior is the star.
Yeah.
And he's Junior from Sopranos. That's his character in this new show.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's watching The Sopranos.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's like, what the fuck is this? And then he thinks he's Junior from Sopranos.
Yeah.
Even though he is, but in this movie.
Yeah.
He's not, but he thinks he is.
Yeah, and it's like a whole scene where Tony Soprano, where he's like completely lost his head.
You have to recast Tony Soprano.
Not his fucking kid. His kid looks nothing like him.
Is it like you have to recast Tony Soprano, like you have to basically CG him out. Because when Junior's watching it as a 90-year-old man, he's watching it. He thinks he's Junior, even though he is Junior. But in the movie, he's not Junior. And then Tony Soprano can be played by, I don't know.
I think his son.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
See, if somebody told you this, you'd be like, what is this? Okay, now I have to see this. It's must-see TV.
I'd be pissed. I was like, you can't. It was kind of like the movie they made, like the prequel movie.
Yeah.
I refused to watch it, and everyone told me, like, good. It's fucking awful.
I'm not interested in seeing any of that.
No. Like, if you're going to make the prequel,
it's like watching new X-Files. I don't want to watch new X-Files.
I never watched the new X-Files. Are they making new X-Files?
No, they did, like, a handful of episodes as the little mini series.
Oh, they should have made a movie.
But they look all old and shit. I don't like that. The X-Files were fine the way they were.
Yeah.
We don't need new X-Files.
What's your favorite X-Files episode? Is there a one that really freaked you out?
My favorite X-Files episode. That's a good question.
I can't even think of one. Yeah.
Let's see. There's a lot of really good ones, but I'd have to break them into categories. There'd have to be, let's call them Monster of the Week episodes, where it's like, oh, we found a fucking monster living inside of the fucking sewer. There is one like that where they find this fucking like pale fucking like squid monster thing living in the fucking plumbing of the city. And they don't know where it came from. And then they kind of figure out that it was kind of like a perfect mixture of chemicals and radiation kind of transformed somebody. Cause they thought it was like an alien or a monster. And then they found out that it was like a person who was like mutated.
Yeah.
There's ones like that. And then there's ones that deal with like, well, like, I think, like, season two, Gillian Anderson she was pregnant in real life. So they had to so she was always, like, standing in front of something to cover up her pregnant stomach. So she was always, like, behind a filing cabinet or a car or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they're just sitting in a car. You only see her from here up, you know. So they had to basically, they were like, she gets abducted, but you don't know who abducts her.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an ongoing thing. And then Mulder kind of becomes crazy and he's like, I'll fucking do anything I have to fucking find her, which you know, there's parallels to that with his sister, because that's why he even becomes fascinated with all the shit, because his sister was abducted by aliens when he was a child, and that's why he is the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes very possessive of Scully. I don't know. I'd have to get back to you on that, because there's like ones that are like shit FBI things, like when they really, like when Skinner really starts getting involved, and the cigarette smoking man, you figure out that there's moles inside of the FBI that are working against Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarette smoking man's involved.
Yeah, I remember
that. So there's things like that. There's sort of like inner kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's people like double crossing each other. Then there's like Monster of the Week. And then there's like human things, like there's like voodoo episodes where someone's like there was one where like this dude is, it's funny. Okay. So basically there's a bunch of refugees who are inside this, like basically like a refugee camp. So basically, it's kind of like the border's open and all these people are coming in. So we have to process them through this one place, and they're all black.
Yeah.
And basically the military is in charge of this facility. But there's one dude in there who's like this like voodoo priest guy who has a lot of influence. They keep him in like solitary. But then all the military guys start getting fucking whacked. Like they all go crazy and they get whacked, and then they come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a zombie dust got blew in his face, which is like a real thing. There's like weird zombie dust stuff where people get blown in their face, and then they fucking, they're like, okay, now let's go to an ATM and empty out your,
give me all your Birodenga, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole episode is with that, where they these guys, like these military guys were being killed, and then they'd go to the morgue and then they'd wake up and they find him wandering in a field, and they're like, how did I get out of here? They're like, dude, you were pronounced dead like yesterday. And he's like, I don't remember anything. So there's kind of like explained things that are human. And like there's one with a cult.
Yeah.
Where like they think the cult is killing all these kids in town, but it's actually like this group of teachers at the local school that are in this like religious cult where they sacrifice kids. So the cult, the cult is really just a bunch of weird, pretty much passive religious group. But everyone thought like, oh, that cult fucking is killing these local. So there's like things like that where it's like they explain that it's like, oh, it's just people being weird and committing crimes against each other. There's monster episodes, and then there's like inner bureau, like kind of like spy shit.
So
it's like picking one is kind of hard. I would have to do like a top.
Fuck yeah.
I'd have to do like a top five list.
It's such a great show.
Yeah, I'd have to do like a top five
list. There's a lot of bad X-Files episodes, but there's a lot of great episodes.
It's like picking a favorite like Twilight Zone episode or a favorite Mystery Science Theater 3000
episode. It makes me feel like the Twilight Zone and X-Files, sometimes I'll like mix things up sometimes. I was like, oh, no, that's a Twilight Zone episode. It's not X-Files.
Yeah.
What's the name of the guy that created X-Files? I can't remember his name.
Chris
Carter, right?
Chris Carter.
Yeah. Wasn't he involved with Lone Wolf? Remember that show Lone Wolf?
Are you thinking of the Lone Gunman?
Yeah. I think Lone Gunman. Yeah. Lone Gunman.
There you go. The truth is out there. X-Files official guide. The Lone Gunman was a TV show.
Yeah.
And it was, it's the Lone Gunman from the X-Files. It's like these three guys who have a newsletter that Mulder subscribes to. Mm-hmm. And they're also like hackers. So their whole thing is like, they're kind of like doing what we're doing right now.
Have you?
But with 90s technology. And then they tried making a show about just them, which I think they should have pushed to do some more episodes of that. But maybe they can bring it back. I don't know. I don't know if all those guys are still alive.
You know how they wrote that, how they got ideas for that show? I think it was Chris Carter would like talk to this guy that was in the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what are you guys working on right now? And like, he's like, I can't tell you what we're doing, but like, they'll give him like these kind of like soft premises.
Yeah.
And like there's an episode on Lone Gunman where a fucking plane crashes into the World Trade Center. It's fucking wild.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's like a famous episode. And that episode was, what's interesting about that episode mm-hmm. is that this secret computer chip
mm-hmm.
that can kind of do it can basically get into anywhere and yeah. do anything. It's basically promise software, but it, mm-hmm. but it's like it has to be a physical thing that is stolen.
Yeah,
because that's more dramatic if somebody has to like sneak in mm-hmm. and get the thing. And basically, somebody steals that chip and then uses that chip to manipulate a plane that's in the sky
mm-hmm.
That our main characters are on, and they're about to crash in the World Trade Center. But then there's like a sexy hacker chick who basically does the same thing the lone gunmen do,
mm-hmm.
but she's more of like a Trinity from the Matrix type of character.
Yeah.
So they basically blackmail her. They're like one of the guys, he's basically like, I'm going to tell everyone who you really are. I know who you really are because mm-hmm. she goes by a fake name. He's like, I know who you really are, and I'm going to tell everybody unless you help us. And she's like, oh, fine. So she has to re-steal the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then basically re-hack the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then they save the plane at the last second right before it fucking, I think it actually hits the World Trade Center. Like it fucking skims it. Just
yeah.
Like chips the top a little bit. But yeah, I liked The Lone Gunman. I thought that show was like it had possibilities, and it had possibilities out the gate. Like first few episodes of X-Files, you know, you could tell they were just like they were kind of tentatively behind it, where they're just like, okay, we'll give you like $200 to make an episode, and everything just looks fake,
yeah,
and shitty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would look like this, and you know, it'd be like Plan 9 from Outer Space, where people mm-hmm. are like, oh look, there's a UFO is going by, and like a light would go by, and they go, oh, and then after about six episodes, like then they start dumping money into the show, and you can really start to see it now. Like there's offices and mm-hmm. sets, and you know, there's you know makeup effects, and so.
Dude, I've been watching a bunch of like, I don't know what happened where my Instagram is only Sopranos and 9/11 videos. So that's all it is now. And I know Memory Hole just started a new YouTube channel where it's just like, I think it's called MH Archives. Mm-hmm. And he just puts archives of videos that were deleted because he, on one of his videos on his original channel, he's showing people how to get YouTube channels that are YouTube videos that were deleted. So he's just going in and bringing them back out. Like he's able to get them and then download them. And then he's just posting it on this archive channel. Mm-hmm. It's fucking incredible. Remember we were talking about last week where we're like, yeah, there's videos of like, you can see people dropping from the buildings and just exploding. Like, there's videos on this YouTube channel like that. And then
right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go to MH Archives. I think is the name of it.
Now, do those
shout out a memory hold? It's good, dude.
Do those get pulled out?
No, they haven't yet. I was talking to him. He's like, no, they haven't yet. He's like, that's a good point. But he also puts them on BitChute, and he also puts them. He wants to start using Rumble. I don't think he's on Rumble yet, but it's all on there, and he has a lot of cool stuff on there, like stuff you don't like. He had remember those guys that were. That were on like the 92nd floor of the World Trade Center, and like they were building all this shit on the 92nd floor. I don't think anyone really knew about it. Mm. It's real interesting. And there's another one. This is a 9/11, but the El Paso shooter, the father of the El Paso shooter was like really close with that guy John of God. Remember John of God? The guy that was like the faith healer for like Oprah, but he raped all those kids and started he was like, he had like all those kids being trafficked.
Yeah.
Like that guy, the parent of the El Paso shooter was close with that guy. That's interesting. And that video completely was scrubbed from the internet, but now Memory Hole brought it back.
Yeah. I mean, see, this is weird.
What do you got?
I was looking at his YouTube channel. It's like really random stuff.
It's random because like it's supposed to be like that. It's unedited videos. He's just posting them on there. And I think in the he's just writing like, oh, this content does not belong to me. This is fair use, blah, 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 blah. But he's just putting it in there so it doesn't get deleted. But he's just like re-uploading videos that were deleted. So like,
so you know, so this is all fair use stuff.
It's fair use stuff.
I think I'm gonna use it for Skeleton Factory.
You should. There's good. There's really good stuff. I think he just started a month ago, and he's just like he would just upload stuff to it. So like sometimes he'll go on there, and I'll even turn on my notifications.
Yeah.
Because if I see something, I was like, oh cool, there might be something that I forgot existed. That's like basically his name is Memory Hold, because it like a lot of the stuff is Memory Hold. You forget about it.
Yeah,
because it leaves the zeitgeist, and it's like it's almost like gone forever. Like all the conspiracy videos back in like 2014, and like before whenever I don't know when Google bought YouTube, but like there was all this stuff. It doesn't exist anymore.
Ooh, he has a video called 2001: A Racist Odyssey.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh.
So you could just watch stuff. You could just put it on and you're just like, whoa, what the fuck is this?
Oh, this looks great. This looks like the early episodes of Mystery Science Theater.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this right now, I highly suggest you go. I highly suggest you go and check out Memory Hold stuff. He does a lot. Like, his research is like fucking top notch. He was all part of the that documentary where they did about Pizzagate.
Oh, is it Memory Hole or Hold?
Hold, H-O-L-D.
I was looking at Memory Hole.
Yeah, Memory Hold.
Which is completely different.
It's Memory Hold, that's right.
Memory Hole, now I'm looking at Memory Hold. I was looking at it's a completely wrong thing. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at all this stuff.
Yeah.
Will Jim Carrey sue Vincent Briatore over Epstein flight thing?
Yeah, it's...
I think that's why Jim Carrey's losing his mind.
Yeah.
Because I think the walls are closing in on him. I don't think he's going crazy. I think he just knows it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
Before what we all know to be true.
How long have we been going?
Hour 7.
Okay. I want to, you know, we haven't talked about, which I'm surprised we have not talked about this yet, is the Vince McMahon stuff. I don't know if you want to get into that real fast. I have no research in front of me. This is all going off the fucking dome right now. Have you looked into what's going on with Vince McMahon?
Not really.
It's just,
I'm surprised I'm not more interested, to be honest, but I haven't, I don't know.
Like, I just read
I know he had a mustache for some reason, and that's all I know.
That's the silliest thing Vince McMahon ever did. He also shit on somebody.
The silliest thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
It's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, a mustache. Mustache rides. The genetic jackhammer and mustache rides.
He got what's his name in trouble? What's the guy? I can't think of his name. The guy that went to UFC. Oh, Brock Lesnar. Got Brock Lesnar in trouble.
Because
he have like a thing. There was a text message where, I mean, he's basically just pimping all these girls. And he was talking about, I think.
Who, Brock Lesnar?
No, Vince McMahon. Uh-huh. And, like, he was setting up this girl with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon was setting up this girl with Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had to do something with pissing. I got to look this up because I don't want to fuck it up. Because Brock Lesnar, Vince McMahon. Yeah, it's like something. It's something weird. Because also, Vince McMahon liked to be, I think he shit on a girl. It's like, there's like a lot of fucking weird text messages.
Yeah, no, what exactly did he do that was illegal? Because that's the part that's fuzzy for me.
Me too. It's because it seemed like these girls were, they did it. Like, he was just kind of like setting them up. He was kind of like Will Smith on that movie where he was like a matchmaker guy, but with wrestlers, and they would do like really fucked up stuff. Like, sometimes they'll pee on them. Let me see if I can find shocking details. It says sex trafficking lawsuit.
What's even the definition of that?
It could be anything.
You know what I mean? Like, what is the definition of in what he was doing? Like, what was he doing that was sex trafficking?
I don't know.
And why is that? You understand what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand.
It's a very vague thing, because...
Yeah, it sounds like it's a vague thing, but I'm like, what exactly did he do? Because he's not having, like, charges pressed against him or anything like that, right? That's not something that's...
No, happening. They basically forced him to leave this thing that he built. This mm-hmm. great man went and built this thing that we all loved.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been part of the... It was WWF when I was growing up. Now it's WWE.
Mm-hmm.
They end up kind of taking over the WCW. I don't know AEW. I don't really understand what that is.
That's a whole separate company.
So they're not part of that. That's how I've been away from wrestling for a while. So.
Not 100% sure, because WWE was acquired and UFC was acquired by one company.
Yeah.
And I don't know if AEW was folded into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but hold on. I don't know why they don't just put the fucking text message on there. I don't want to hear what your opinions are. Oops, that's TikTok. I don't use TikTok. Let me see. So, let's see. Lesnar isn't even on here. All right, according to this, this isn't Brock Lesnar. But it says...
Okay, hold on. I just typed in, what did Vince McMahon do in Google? This is what Google told me. McMahon had to step down as CEO of WWE in 2022 after an investigation found that he had paid nearly $15 million to four women over 16 years to quiet claims of sexual misconduct. Even during that time, McMahon maintained control over the company as a majority shareholder.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an investigation.
Yeah.
That he paid $15 million to four people over 16 years. That's not that much money.
But it's misconduct also. That's not a sexual assault. It's not sexual. Like, he could have been like...
Yeah, that's
I'm not,
that,
I'm
that's
not defending
clear.
What he's saying. I'm just saying that's, it doesn't, I mean, it could be really bad.
I'm also not gonna cast judgment either. I you know.
Yeah.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah.
Says, all right, so this article right here, this is, where is this dated? 2024, January 26, 2024. Vince McMahon found himself thrust into the midst of a shocking scandal. Oh my God, I hate how this is written. Came light that he had secretly paid a staggering $3 million in hush money. That's not a lot of money. Though, especially for Vince McMahon. This revelation marked a turning point, ultimately leading to McMahon's retirement from the company that had been instrumental in building. However, McMahon's legal troubles did not stop there, as he now faces even more disturbing allegations related to leaked text messages. As reported by the Wall Street Journal, a woman who had previously reached a settlement with Vince McMahon had recently filed a lawsuit that centered around the contents of a text message. Come on! Really? It's a text message.
This is where I think the numbers, once you look at the numbers and the time period,
mm-hmm.
I think the allegations start to crumble a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of the sting of the allegations get lessened because it's $15 million.
Yeah.
Spread over four women.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $3,750,000. Per woman spread mm-hmm. over 16 years, which comes out to $23,437.50. That's nothing. That's
mm-hmm.
fucking the lowest wrestler on the fucking card gets paid more than that to do a fucking Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, but that spread over 16 years. It's like, what is going on there?
apparently it's just like I've heard people talk about the text messages. Mm-hmm. Not saying like he's they're saying he was being coercive and he was like telling girls that this wrestler likes to pee on girls. You should come and do this if you want to keep your job. Like I think that's what some of the gist of it is, which isn't good. That's not a good thing.
That's a lot to prove.
Yeah. Well, the text messages prove that.
Because there's nothing to suggest just in that information that it's not consensual.
Here's a text message.
You know what I mean? Like they may all be into swapping partners or doing kind of weird orgy things together. So it's like you can look at a text like that and like I don't even understand how you even find a victim in that text. It's like ravishing Rick Rude wants to take a shit on your face. It's like maybe
I like you know what I mean?
Like
how
is that threatening? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like maybe some girl's just like, I'm really into shit. I blew Coco Beware and his parrot shit on my tits. So if you know any wrestlers, mm-hmm. Vince, that are into poo-poo play.
Yeah.
Like playing with the poop. Text me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mr. Perfect.
Mm. Yeah.
Like shitting on girls' faces. So
here's a text
give
message.
Him a call. Like, how is that? I don't understand how that's trafficking.
I don't either. All right. Here's a text message from from a Miss Grant to Vince McMahon. It's from Vince McMahon says, exactly, baby. He's not the only one. Blank, call me this afternoon begging to eat you and fuck you with his nice and hard dick. And then she says, give me another week, baby, and I'll be ready. I'm feeling more like myself. It's not great, but it's getting better. Tell him soon. And then he says, I already told him, baby, by the way, Johnny wants Tuesday, but not this coming one, and the occasional Saturday, but maybe I could shift it to Thursday night. Johnny would like all the above.
Again. I think what they're talking about, John Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was, I think, head of talent relations for some time. He's the brother of Animal from the Legion of Doom.
I don't know. I'm kind of reading these text messages. He just seems like a matchmaker. There we go. We got our movie.
You know what
right
it sounds
there.
Like? It sounds like call girls.
Yeah.
Who are just like, you know, like Vince is basically like, all, like they'll tell wrestlers, he's just like, I know some girls. They're clean. They're chill. If we're on the road, they'll come to wherever we are. And he's like, I'll pick up the tab because I'm the boss. I want to keep you sweet. You're on the road 300 days a year, putting your body on the line for me. So he's just like, and that's probably a thing anyways. There's guys going to titty bars after fucking, you know, wrestling.
Where do you think they're finding these women?
Yeah, they're probably like.
They're just muscle Barbies,
they're
basically.
They're like, we don't want you fucking weird hookers on the, like, that looks bad.
Yeah.
If you're, we can't have wrestlers getting arrested with cocaine and hookers. He's like, we will pay these women ahead of time. And then it just looks like you were just fucking some chick in a hotel room. There's no like, there's no hookeriness connected.
When you think
sounds like he's like the best boss ever.
It's almost brilliant because he has salaried whores.
Yeah, it sounds like the best boss ever. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think people understand that. I think they want to make it sound like it's some kind of dark, ominous thing. And to me. Sounds like best boss ever.
Because it's mind-boggling to you, yeah.
Alright, so people, I'm reading the chats. What are people saying? Womb Raider thinks that Vince killed Chris Benoit. I gotta look more into that, because there's a conspiracy theory with Chris Benoit, and like, the things that someone told me is like, oh, he knew too much about Vince McMahon. I don't think Vince McMahon would kill
Chris Benoit. Wouldn't know anything about Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in the, for several reasons, he wasn't in the company long enough to fucking know anything.
He was in WCW
he wasn't even a top guy that long. He was like, he was like a top guy when he died and he killed his whole fucking family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like top guys don't know anything about fucking, you know, they don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like what are they, it's like maybe guys like Hogan or guys who were like with the company forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bret Hart. People like that. People who were like, were there for like ever, you know, Triple H. People who were in the company for like decades.
Dude, I remember.
But like some dude who just came in a few years ago and is now like a champ is like, mm-hmm. you don't fucking know anything. Also, you're on the road and you're doing steroids and you're working out constantly and you're trying to juggle a family. What, you're just going to pick up some dirt on Vince McMahon? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just
and he didn't tell anyone else. It's like
if any kind of profession has provided a bunch of fucking maniacs where they lose their minds, it's wrestling. Just what? Look at their stories. They're so sad and fucking awful.
New season of Dark Side of the Ring is out right now.
Did you see the
Iron Claw?
Yeah, the Iron Claw.
I did see the Iron Claw.
I heard it's really sad.
It's very sad.
I want to watch it, but I don't want to cry.
It's
I won't do it for my wife. I'll watch it by myself.
It's good. It's a fine movie.
Would you cry in front of your wife?
My wife doesn't even know that we're married. So do you think, yeah. She's not even aware I have tear ducts.
Yeah. I'll just punch a hole in the wall. No, I won't.
No, I just jump into the nearest body of water to cover up with the tears.
That's yeah, what I do. I'm going to jump in the shower. I'm getting in the shower.
That's with my clothes on.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to cry in front of your wife. Like, they're going to think you're weak.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just how I feel. I don't want my wife to lose respect for me.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, he's fucking crying over that.
Yeah.
Like when my dad got married and like before I had to say the toast and I didn't know I was supposed to say the toast.
Yeah.
And before when I first saw him at the wedding, he told me that his, cause he never wears suits and he was wearing a suit and he was like, oh, this is the suit you're going to bury me in. And I'd never thought about my dad dying and it fucked me up. And when I was saying the toast, I got real emotional and it was so embarrassing. Like, I think about it when I'm in the shower, I was like, I can't fucking believe I got emotional. It wasn't because he's getting married. I never thought about him dying. So that was the first,
why are you gay?
I know. I felt so gay. I went home and mom's like, I heard you got pretty emotional. I was like, I don't want to talk about it.
It's fine, Sean. You know what I mean? It's, you know what? Believe me, it's like you, like I've lost a parent.
Yeah.
Like right now is like, it's like, this is like nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. When it actually happens, it's like your whole world falls apart.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of like snap out of it because you have to like, you know,
you gotta be the man of the family.
You have to bring the fucking suit to the morgue and be like, okay, he said he wanted to be buried in this. And hopefully he doesn't degrade into a skeleton and then they're like, the suit doesn't really fit him. And you're like, just put it in him anyway.
Yeah.
That's why my stepdad, he was just like, just cremate me. He's like, I'm not interested in, which was a good idea because he got lung cancer and he became very skinny.
Yeah.
His wedding ring didn't fit him. I remember that making me cry.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? So he was like, cremate me. And he's like, don't let your mother buy a fucking urn.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that was weak. He's like, if you get cremated and you get put in an urn, you're gay.
Yeah, put me in a trash bag and throw me in the trash.
Yeah. He's all, put me where you put the ashes from the Weber charcoal grill. That's where you put me.
Fuck no. I'd be like, hell no. That's where I cook food, asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we're gonna put you in a fucking bag. And like,
we're not even burn you all the way down. You know, like if you like light a Duraflame log and it only just burns into the middle. Yeah. And you're like, oh shit, we didn't. The fire didn't take. We weren't there poking it to make sure that he it burned
split
evenly.
Split in half.
It's like, oh shit. There's just 2 feet and like a head.
Oh Jesus. So, yeah. Oh my God.
There's weird things you don't even think about. Like, yeah. Like my stepdad had false teeth top and bottom, and he had a fake eye. So
that's badass.
They cremated him. They gave him to us in a fucking bag.
Yeah.
And then they gave us a sandwich bag with his eye and his teeth in it.
Oh yeah, he told me about that.
And we were like, what the fuck is this? They're like, we can't burn plastic. It's just bad. It fucks up the fucking oven.
Yeah, it just melts.
So here. So and then I have his teeth up there, both pairs. Fuck. I even have his backup pair. I used to have his eye.
Did they clean it?
Do they clean it?
Yeah, before they gave it to you?
They probably fucking wiped it off on their fucking smock. And then they put it in his, you know, so, you know, actually he died in his sleep, so he probably didn't even have his teeth in.
What the fuck, man?
Well, he must have had his teeth in because they gave them, they gave us the teeth.
Dude.
He must have still had his eye in and his teeth when he died.
The most fucked up thing I saw was from my ex-father-in-law from my past relationship.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, I'm not gonna say this on the air. So this guy was a alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. I don't want to say his real name. No disrespect to
you
the dead.
You rollerblading faggot.
But he used to get really drunk, and he had he was like a nurse, but like he would go out to bars every night. Like he would when he was alive, he would like my son, my oldest son right now. He was like 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always try to get us to go to a bar with him. He's like, hey, no, it's a bar and grill. It's a bar and grill. And we're like, no, it's a fucking bar. Yeah. I don't think there's a grill in there. Anyways, so one day when it, like he got, when he was younger, when he was like in his like 30s, he got hit by a car and the car dragged him like two blocks on his head. So he lost part of his skull. So like he had to get, they had to skin graft. So they'd take shit from like his back and put it on his head. Uh-huh. And I didn't know this. And he like started living with us because he would have seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he was showing me how he like takes off his fucking part of his skull. It looked like he was like the Terminator.
They just like made like a flap that went over his hole?
There's a flap and it had like fake hair on it.
So they made like a yarmulke out of human mm-hmm. skin, like mm-hmm. if Leatherface was yeah. Jewish, they just made a little thing that went over like that. Really?
Yeah. Remember Terminator 2 when he was like showing him like how he was a robot?
Yeah, he like peeled his he like
that's what it felt like.
Himself.
Yeah, he degloved, but like this is what he did. He was just like it looked like he was taking off like.
He was like listen to me very carefully, Miles Bennett Dyson.
It was the freakiest thing. It gave me nightmares.
Could you see his skull?
Yeah. Well, not really? His skull, but you could see like the part because it obviously healed over it.
Yeah, like Tom Hardy in The Revenant. Remember, he was scalped
mm-hmm.
in that movie, so he always wore like a hat.
Yeah.
And he took it off. He's like, what the fucking goddamn Redskins fucking scalped me.
God
took
damn.
My pelt.
Ugh.
Yeah, dude, that's fucked up.
It was fucked up, and I saw I think it was like 21 at that point. And like this fucking guy, like he would like call us. Also, no disrespect to the dead, but he would like call us at like 3 a.m. when I had to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, "Hey, can you fucking pick me up from the bar?" And then I he's like, "No, fuck, I just fucking walk." Like one time, I made him walk home. It was like 10 miles. He came home and he gets home at like 6 a.m. and he falls asleep. This dude had like 10 seizures in one night. It was crazy. And we called the ambulance
mm-hmm.
and like, cause when you have a seizure, you don't remember you have them. And he's like, what's the ambulance doing? Like, you got to go to the doctor. You just had like 10 seizures. He's like, no, I didn't. I'm like, yeah, you did. He's like, nah, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't. And you did. Oh God, that sucks, dude.
Yeah, yeah. RIP. Like one time he had a seizure and banged his head on the fucking toilet and died. Just bled out.
That's how he died.
That's how he died. Yeah, it's fucked up.
That's what's gonna happen to us.
I hope my son doesn't hear this. He's like, how did Grandpa die? Looking at a seizure, banged his head and bled out. Because I walked in there because like one of her uncles was like, hey, you want to go? Like, he's not answering his phone. Like, we had to go to the projects because he was living in the fucking, he was homeless for a while. Jeez. We had to go to the projects in South El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
This really shitty, really scary apartment.
Yeah.
We go in there. It stunk. And like, we open the bathroom. You just see it on the ground. I was like, oh, I was like, I don't want to look at that. And he's like, oh, it's fine. I'll take care of it. Was such a pussy. I was like, I don't like blood. So we just called the fucking ambulance and they just took him out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the movie Hot Rod when Hot Rod's mom like she basically lied about how like dad died.
Yeah,
like he died doing a great motorcycle stunt, and then she was like, "Oh, actually, he just choked on a piece of pie." He's like, "Oh, really?" Andy wasn't a stuntman. He's like, "Oh no,
my whole life is a lie."
Yeah, that's like my favorite part of that.
He's like, "Why don't you tell me? Like, we didn't think you can handle it." And then he's like, "Yeah, you didn't tell any of us." And what's his brother's name on there? He's like, "Oh no, I knew the whole time."
Yeah. It's good casting.
It's such a great movie.
His mom was like Sissy Spacek, and stepdad was like Ian McShane.
It's
like,
yeah, and then it had...
Perfect casting.
It had like a young Danny McBride. It had like Bill Hader. I don't remember who else was on there.
Vince McMahon with a mustache.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else?
No. I don't.
Yeah, guys. So just go subscribe to the other YouTube channel. Trying to grow that one while I can. It's gonna be a pain in the ass. I'm hoping to record this episode this week. It just depends if I ever get my voice back. Maybe I'll just do it with this fucking shit. But
do text to speech. So just have Snoop Dogg do the show.
Yeah. of course you guys follow us Instagram, Connor_Man_podcast, patreon.com/ Connor Man Podcast. So yeah, go over there and, go commentpodcast.com. I gotta put some posts on there. I forgot I had that website that I pay for. but yeah, that's what we got. I have these written episodes. I think you guys are gonna dig the new stuff.
Frightening Me wants to know what channel you're speaking of.
It's called Con Man Explains. So just type in Con Man Explains. I'm typing it into the chat because I'm signed in as Con Man Explains. I'm gonna say, follow me here. Frightening Me said the food channel. The food channel is gone forever. Mm-hmm. It got
we both stopped eating food. So. Yeah. That has now become obsolete to even do that project anymore.
Yeah. MK Ultreats is just, they took it down. I don't know why. They don't explain. They said it was something that violated their rules, but they don't say what rule it was. I don't cuss on that channel. Mm-hmm. I don't even get into like fucked up stuff. It's just weird. I don't know why. But
yeah, it's YouTube. What are you gonna do?
Thanks, friend of me said get better. I hope. There was one day I was just angry. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why can't I get better? But I feel better. My head feels better. It just, my voice is fucked, and I like to talk, and I can't do it like how I want to.
It'll get better. You just gotta take care of your throat and and fix your shit.
Fix your shit, Nick.
I'm going to post the MK Ultreats episodes on that channel, guys. So if you guys liked it, I'm going to post the shorts. I'll put the videos. Maybe that'll... It's weird because that channel grew like crazy. I gained like 200 subscribers on that one. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really even post on it. But like it, food stuff, it does pretty well on YouTube.
People like food.
I post the reverse sear steak as a short. Mm-hmm. And it got like 10,000 views in like one day. And like it gave me like 60 subscribers.
Yeah.
So if you can just get the right video out,
you're better off not having those people anyways.
Yeah, cuz they're only going to listen to your shorts.
That's because reverse searing is...
Don't say it.
Bullshit.
It's not. It's bullshit. Who told you that? Scientifically, it's
1,000 years of culinary tradition taught me that.
I tried. It has to be a thick enough cut because I try to reverse sear a fajita meat skirt steak. It did not come out like how it should have. It was way overdone.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's like, why would you do that? You could just cook it.
I know.
It's too thin.
It was way too thin. But like, if you're doing a thick cut, I would highly suggest the reverse. Like, people, like my brother's like really big into sous vide. which is when you vacuum seal it. You know what it is. I'm just saying it.
It's when you vacuum seal a man's penis and then you put it in your ass and let it cook for 3 days.
Yeah, that's what sous vide is. And I've told my brother, like, don't do that. It's gay.
It is. It's not hygienic.
Mm-hmm.
So
who's Matthew Mathewson? MK,
Womb Raider. Maddie Matheson?
Maddie Mathewson. Who's that?
He's Fack in The Bear. He's the guy who's like the guy who fixes everything. He's really loud and fat.
Tattooed. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That he's like the culinary, like, he's supervisor. He's on that show. He's an actual chef in real life.
Every time I hear someone talk about The Bear and how great it is, I fucking argue with them every single time.
The Bear?
That show stinks.
Let me tell you, The Bear,
mm-hmm.
in case there's, if people have seen it and they love it,
mm-hmm.
it sucks.
It's so fucking bad. The shots are beautiful. Like, cinematically, it's beautiful.
Chef's Table is beautiful.
Yeah.
The Bear is just, it's a soap opera for poor people.
It is. And it's so fucking bad. And, like, they bring that black chick back
mm-hmm.
after she totally fucked them. She almost ruins it. And then she asks.
No, she fucking, walks out.
She walks out and then.
In the peak of service while shit's hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that would never happen in real life.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's so unbelievable. It's
like you walk out when everyone's in the shit. Mm-hmm. It's like you're dead. You are dead to us.
Yeah.
There's no, I just show up tomorrow.
And then he apologizes to her. Oh, that bothers me.
That would never actually happen ever in any world.
I don't advocate hitting women.
Mm-hmm.
Nor will I ever hit a woman.
But it'd make it look like a kitchen accident happened. Like,
it would have been great if
it's hot grease in her face or something.
Yeah, it would have been funny if she would have slipped on a banana peel and fucking tore her ACL. That's what I advocate
maybe
for.
Maybe 40 years ago from now when they do the remake of The Bear,
mm-hmm.
the cultural shift, and then that character will slip on a banana peel and die in the first episode.
What do you think is going to happen in 40 years? You think everything's going to be like, it's going to be all black cast, and then like white people start coming back in, and people are like, whoa, they're inclusive. They're starting to include white people again.
Well...
After white people were genocided in probably South Africa, there's going to be a major genocide of white people pretty soon.
Yeah, white people are going to become, I don't know what they're going to become. Well, you know, if you want to win an Academy Award now,
mm-hmm.
you have to meet a certain racial standards. Otherwise, you can't even, your movie can't even be considered.
That's crazy.
Like Dunkirk?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely can't be considered to win anything at all.
That's insane.
They're like, too many white people. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. How is that not racist?
And they're applying that to historical historical things
mm-hmm.
where there was no, like the signing of the Declaration of Independence. There's going to be all these Asian women and trans people.
Also,
there.
The AI stuff. I don't know if you've seen all the AI, like I think it's called Gemini, where people were like, can you look up the founding fathers? And they're all black, which I don't care about all that stuff.
Yeah, because I'm like,
that stuff's going to disappear soon.
It's like books, you know, it's like books. There's books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
one day there's
like
going to be
that
no
information
internet.
Won't go away. Like anyone who's just going to be like, oh, well, the internet is where you go for information. You're a moron.
The internet can just disappear one day. One day there could be a cyber attack like we talked about in the last week's episode. Cyber attack, it's all gone. Now your money's gone. Now you're fucking, everything you go in the bank, it's all gone. Now you're just a slave. If you can't make stuff or build stuff, you're useless.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get hauled off into these mega cities. It's kind of like that one. I saw this video where they built a mega city in Arizona and you can't even drive a car in there.
Yeah.
You just like, you pull up to the outside of it and you just walk in and they're like, you have all the food here. You don't even have to drive anywhere. You know, like your house is here. You don't drive. And like, if you want to drive, you can just call an Uber, but like, there's no parking spaces anywhere there.
Yeah. That's
it's
like
fucking insane.
That's a niche thing that mm-hmm. I don't even think people like normal people need to fucking even worry about mm-hmm. because the people inherently want to do things like reverse sear a steak for some reason. People want to fix their own vehicle. What are you going to do? Fix your Tesla? You can't do that. People want to be able to tinker with things. People want to make music. People want to do things in reality. And if you are just, you don't need to go anywhere or do anything. Everything is just here and everything comes to you. It's a land of plenty. Those stories have existed through literature forever and ever and ever and ever. Whereas there's a perfect utopia where you wish not, want not. It's this fucking Star Trek Next Generation world where there's no greed, there's no money, there's accumulation of things. It's like people want things.
Yeah.
That's how you know who wins.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah, the kings have the things.
Yeah, it's like if winning doesn't matter, then why keep score?
Yeah. We can sign off on that. That's a good, that's amazing.
That was Worf said that, and I think an episode of.
I just have a cat named Worf.
Something I came up with.
I had a cat named Worf growing up.
That's cool. Did he have a scrunched up head?
Yeah. No, not really. But my aunt was a big Star Trek fan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like every time her cats would have a bunch of babies, she'd have themes. Like one of the first themes was the Jewish names. Like the cats.
She'd have like a little concentration camp.
Yeah, she had a cat named Yenta. She had a cat named fucking Herschel.
Anne Frank.
And then
Woody Allen.
Then like the next one were Star Trek. Like there was a cat named Jean-Luc Picard. There was Worf. There was Data. Like it was great. So she gave me Worf. Worf was my cat. Oh, love that cat.
It's like Geordi LaForge, and she gouged out his eyes and put a visor over his face.
I went to culinary school, and I came back. He ran away. Sad.
Maybe he got beamed off.
Yeah. He's the cat. That was the only one that that he liked.
Damn.
Yeah. All right, guys. Sign off on that. We'll talk to you guys later. Follow the YouTube channel. That's all we got. Bye.
Bye.